Oh, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to .NET Conf. My name is Adrian Hall. I'm the program manager for Azure Mobile. And today we're going to be taking you through Azure Mobile Apps, and we're going to go beyond the basics. So what are we going to be covering here? First of all, I'm going to go quickly through building and publishing an Azure Mobile App, and then we're going to deep dive into how to make line of business apps for mobile apps. So cloud-enabled line of business apps, and that includes taking Azure AD, which you've probably already connected to your corporate AD infrastructure, and adding that authentication mechanism to your mobile backend. Then we're going to add AD authentication to your mobile app. And finally, we're going to be covering two topics. The first of one is personalizing a table endpoint, and then we'll go into some troubleshooting questions. Along the way, please do ask questions. We're going to have them pop up here, and I'll cover them as I get time. So what are we not covering? We're not going to be covering the basic creation of a mobile app. We're not going to be covering deployment of a SQL Azure database, and we're not going to be covering the basic Xamarin Forms apps. There are excellent quick starts available on Azure.com for the mobile app and SQL Azure database, and on Xamarin.com for the Xamarin Forms app. So we're not going to be covering those topics. So let's dive right in, and I'm going to create a mobile ASP.NET app. Everything here is going to be C#.NET, but just be aware that if you really want to concentrate on Xamarin and you just want to focus on the capabilities of the backend, we do have easier no-code capabilities available. So I'm just going to log into my the perils of live coding, typing straight. I'm just going to log into my Azure.com site and the portal. And you'll be able to see here that I've already created a .NET Conf website. Now, how did I do that? I clicked on this big plus sign. I searched for mobile app. And the very, very first setting is, if I can just find it, is there's mobile app. So you really want to click on this mobile app. Don't do mobile service. That's is no longer preview. It's actually deprecated. And you can't, if you're a new customer, you cannot actually create those. Once I've done that, I'm going to come into my Solution Explorer in Visual Studio. And I just created this application through the file add a new project. And there is, in the cloud environment, there is an Azure mobile app there. Now, this does require the Azure SDK. And make sure that you are always on the latest version of the Azure SDK. Right now, that's version 2.9. That will give you these capabilities. And that is literally all I have done to this. Now, to publish this, this is really kind of easy. But there are a couple of gotchas that you need to be aware of. First of all, we have a capability within the Azure portal called Easy Tables. And that's really where the quick starts take you. So if you've already done the quick start, you've created your mobile app, and you've deployed Easy Tables, you'll want to wipe out that Easy Table configuration before you publish this. That's easily done through here. So I just right-clicked on the project, and I clicked on Publish. I'm going to select my Azure App Service. I'm going to need to re-enter my credentials. It times out after a while. And I obviously can't type today. Always a wonderful sign. There we go. Once you've authenticated, it will refresh the subscriptions. If you've got multiple subscriptions, you'll see all your subscriptions here. I only have my MSDN subscription that comes with Visual Studio Enterprise. So I'm going to select that one. And here's my conference resource group, and there's my app service. So I can click on OK. Now, once you've got that done, it will actually fill in an awful lot of the information for you. It pulls this down. There are a couple of alternatives, FTP, but the web deploy uses port 433, so that really gets by most firewalls that are out there. So you can deploy easily. Next one, click on next, because there's some real interesting options here. The first one is the file for publish options. If you have implemented easy tables and now you are swapping over to ASP.NET, ensure you click the remove additional files at destination. So that will be a requirement. And if you are doing code first migration, so at the end of the day, the mobile app is an ASP.NET with entity framework built in. And that means that you have to deal with entity framework migrations. If you have done a migration, you'll be able to check this box and it will actually execute for you on the back end. So now you can click on next and now you can click on publish. That's how you publish a site. We want to go a bit deeper though. So first of all, some notes. ASP.NET mobile apps use entity framework. Make sure you deal with the EF migrations. I mentioned that. Really, the right-click publish is for development. If you are doing a production deployment, you probably want to set up a production staging environment. There is a feature on Azure App Service called slots, and it's available in the All Settings pane. I'll just show that off. So I'm just going to go back to my main page, and I'm going to go into my .NET Conf site, and I'm in All Settings, and down near the bottom there is Deployment Slots, and this allows you to create that staging slot. So you have your production slot, and you have your staging slot. What you're going to do is use continuous deployment against the staging slot. So then you can test your staging, then make sure that the migration took hold, that your mobile apps still work with the staging site, and then you can do the swap slot to swap it into production. That way your production environment is not affected as you are making sure that your staging site is working. If you have a problem, and as I said, the specific problem is easy tables being transitioned to an ASP.NET application, make sure you clear all the files. It's an option under settings in the publish dialog. And be aware that when you publish, we've got to shut down the old site and we've got to bring the new site up and do the connection to the backend database. So there is a startup cost. What happens, and it should have just happened here, is you will always get a website coming up once it's been published properly. Even if you don't have a home site, as I don't in this version, you're always going to have something, a web page that actually pops up. So make sure that you wait for that before you start testing your back end, because that's your indication that it's actually published properly. So let's go on to Azure AD authentication. Azure App Service makes this really drop-dead simple for you to do. I'm going to go back to my Azure portal here, and I'm in, as you will no doubt remember, my ASP.NET application. So this is the Azure App Service. It's my mobile app. Under Features, there is a whole bunch of things, but the one that I'm going to be concentrating on here is the Authentication and Authorization site. I can click on this, and it's normally turned off. I don't have any authentication. So the first thing I'm going to do is turn on authentication. And this actually gives you a whole bunch of information. You can configure Azure AD, which we'll do in a moment, Facebook, Google, Twitter, or Microsoft accounts. Now, the four social accounts, you're going to have to go somewhere else to actually pull a client ID and client secret to configure the application. In the Azure Active Directory case, you're not. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into Azure Active Directory, and we've implemented an easy way of getting this configured. Click on Express, and scroll down a bit, and you'll notice it's going to create a new AD app. Now, if you are configuring a staging slot, for example, you may want to select an existing AD app so that your production and staging slots have the same environment. I'm going to create a new one, and it's going to give me a name. In the Azure AD part of the portal, this is going to appear. I'm going to click on OK. that's all I need to do. Literally, that is configuring the Azure AD to use so that my website can use it. The final thing that I'm going to do is up here in the action to take when request is not authenticated. Now, a lot of people mistakenly say, well, that's the authentication that I want to use. This is really a distinction between, do you want the app service to handle authentication for you, or do you want your app to control the authentication? Now, most people have a number of pages that they don't want authenticated. For example, your homepage, you might want to be not authenticated. You might have a configuration API that you want to be not authenticated because it passes information down to your mobile app about the server. So inevitably, when you're doing a mobile app, you want to say allow the request. This doesn't say that authentication is turned off. This just says that your app, your mobile app, is controlling whether a page is authenticated or not, rather than the app service assuming that every single page needs to be authenticated. Once you've done that, click on Save. And that will save the options. So a couple of authentication tips for you. We're going to be implementing what we call server flow. Now, server flow is great for web apps, and it's also great when you're doing a mobile app and you just want authentication quickly, but you're going to handle the more complicated scenarios around authentication later on. We recommend for production mobile apps that you use a client authentication. Now, that means that, for example, if you are wanting your client to be authenticated with Facebook, you use the Facebook SDK to authenticate your user in your mobile app, and then you pass the token that you get back from the Facebook SDK to the mobile backend, and it will actually swap it for a mobile apps token so that you can then continue to use it. The second thing is dealing with the refresh problem. Refresh tokens are an interesting topic. Basically, we use a token-based authentication mechanism. That means that you authenticate through an OAuth flow and you get a token back. Now, that token has an expiry time. What happens when your mobile app moves beyond that expiry time? And the answer is that most environments, MSA and Twitter being the catch-ups to here, they don't have this facility, but most of the others have a refresh token. And that's something that you can request during your authentication process. You get a refresh token back. And then when you time out, you submit the refresh token to get a new token back. So you need to deal with this refresh problem because you are going to bump into expiry times. And it's generally, you know, it could be a day, it could be a month, it could be a week, we don't know. It could be an hour, it could be a minute. You just don't know when that expiry time is going to hit. So deal with this problem upfront. And finally, you can test the authentication server flow by yourself. So once you've set it up, and we can actually try this out now, I'm going to go to /.auth/login/AAD. And it's actually going to redirect me to the login page. Now, I've already logged in here since I've been testing this app, so I've successfully logged in. Now, I can go to my endpoint, and here's my big token. Let's just get rid of that. It's a huge token. And go to https://ahol.net.conf, and there's my original, and I just take the /.auth and I go /me. And this gives me a JSON document that describes all the claims that we made. So for example, I know that my email address is photoadrian@outlook.com. I know my name is Adrian Hall, and I know where I'm coming from in terms of the identity provider. I know who actually identified it. So that's how you test the auth flow. Go to /.auth/login/provider, and it's Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft account, or AAD, the tokens for the provider, and go through the auth flow and then take a look at the information with /.auth/me. So next I'm going to go over to some coding. And this really comes down to how do I cross-platform add this information in? So I'm going to take the backend out of the way. I've actually got a Xamarin Forms app. Now, after I installed the Xamarin plugin for Visual Studio, I just went in and I did add new project to this same project, and down in the, where is it? The window, Visual C Sharp, cross-platform, there we go. In the cross-platform, there is a Xamarin Forms for Universal Windows, Android, and iOS. And that's the project that I created. I said I wasn't going to do create the whole app, but I am going to do a little bit. So the first thing is I need to actually, there are three parts to this. First of all, there is the portable library. Now that is a common code to all three platforms. So when I compile this on the relevant platform, I'm going to say I want the iOS version, or I want the Android version, or I want the UWP version. It's going to automatically compile the shared code, and then it's going to compile the UWP version. It's going to put them together to produce your app. So within the capabilities of the app, I want to be able to produce this login page. So this application right now, it doesn't do any authentication. It's just your basic to-do list that you open up and you've got to-dos, and it's shared across everybody. And I want to be a bit more prescriptive about it. So I want to be able to provide authentication. And when the user is authenticated, I want them to see their own to-do list. I don't want them to see everybody's to-do list. Now, to do the authentication piece, unfortunately, authentication is platform-specific code. Every single platform implements how to deal with the UI slightly differently. So we need to deal with that. What we're going to do is we're going to use a Xamarin Forms capability called dependency service. Now, dependency service says, take an interface, take a .NET, C# .NET interface, and define that. And then in each of your platform projects, define an implementation of that interface. And then in your common code, you're going to look up that interface, find out the concrete implementation of it, and then use that. So first of all, in my services, I've already created a service locator singleton here. I'm going to add a new item. I'm going to add an interface, and I'm going to call it iLogin Provider. Now, iLogin Provider, it requires an async login async, and I'm going to pass in the mobile service client that I'm using. Async would be good. And in addition to that, I'm going to provide a logout async. And I'm just going to use all the helpers, so I bring in my right library, and that's that done. Now, in the UWP project, I'm going to create a concrete example of that. So I'm going to add a class, and I'm going to call it UWP Login Provider. And that's going to implement my iLogin Provider. And I'm going to bring in that capability as well, which should be just using dnctodo.services. It should be there. Do I need to build it? Let me just build it. Probably the best way. Okay. There we go. So now, come on. Quick actions, and I need to implement that. So my async task login async takes a mobile service client. And in the case of the UWP version, all I need to do is do a client.login async. But because I'm using AAD, I'm going to go mobile. Let me just bring in the appropriate library here. Mobile service authentication provider, and there is a Windows Azure Active Directory. So, and I'm going to await for that, since I'm on an async. And I can do the same thing for the logout async. Again, it's a mobile service client. Like that. So that will now do its job. Now, what about the iOS and the Android version? Well, let's take a look at the iOS version first. So here is my iOS version, and I mentioned that dealing with the capabilities of the individual platforms is necessary. In the case of the iOS platform, I need to provide the root view. So here is my root view controller, and I've got to pass that in. So fortunately, that is a global variable in the iOS version, and that's all I need to do. In the Droid version, there's something a bit different because I actually need to initialize this with a context, and the context needs to be passed in. This is very common in Android Xamarin Forms applications, as you'll see. So I store the context in a local variable, and then in the login async, rather than passing the root view as I did in the iOS version, or nothing at all in the UWP version, I'm going to be passing in the context. Now, I do need to initialize that, and that is done in the main activity page. I'm waiting for this window to go away. So I'll just scroll up, and you can see that what I do is I actually use the dependency service to actually get that. So that's how I initialize the Android version. So that's the once I've done that, then I need to switch back to my my Azure App Service. And excuse me while I switch off the Visual Studio and bring it back to get rid of that window. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually make an easy method of getting the login async and the logout async from my singleton. And this is a fairly common pattern where I use the singleton that I'm using for my mobile apps to access the things in the dependency service. So let me just reload quickly. Go back into my project. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the class dependency service. So here's my Azure App Service class. And what I've done is I've created login async and login logout async. Now, instead of throwing a nice exception, I'm going to use var lp equals. Now, the dependency service is a singleton itself, and I'm going to get the implementation of iLogin provider. And then I'm going to call on that, I'm going to await lp.login async, and you can see that that's completed for us. And similarly, in the logout async, I'm going to get the concrete implementation of iLogin provider, and I'm going to await lp.logout async. Now, there is one thing I forgot to do, and I apologize for that. If I look in the iOS version, you can see this assembly at the top. Now, what that is doing is that is registering this class as being the concrete implementation of of the iLogin provider with the dependency service. So what I need to do is I need to go down into the UWP version of this, and at the top I need to, just make sure I'm putting, it's at the namespace level. I'm going to put that there, and instead of IOS there, I'm going to say this is the UWP version. And Xamarin Forms will take that dependency and it will say this is the concrete version of the iLogin provider. Then my Azure App Service will actually, that actually implements that. It will actually, when I do the dependency service.get, if I'm running on UWP, it will actually get that login async. Now, as I mentioned, I would normally implement this with ADAL library, or if the Facebook SDK, if I was doing Facebook authentication. So whichever one you use, and then I would do the swap over of the tokens. If you want to see that in action, please do refer to our developer guides that's on azure.com. Click on documentation, web and mobile apps, and under the developer section, they are there. So some hints and tips. First of all, use a singleton in your mobile app to access Azure mobile apps. We store the authentication in that object. So if you don't use a singleton, you have to manage the state of the authentication. That's, no one wants to do that. I use a service locator class that's a simple thing, much of the same API as the dependency service to locate my singleton. And finally, login logout is platform dependent. Sometimes you need additional initialization, particularly Android. So use the dependency service to link in the platform dependent code. So let's go back to our table, and that's enough live coding for right now. Now, how do we create a personal table? Well, in the regular to-do list, you've got two fields. You've got a text field and you've got an is it completed field. And that's actually implemented in my to-do item field. And I'm just going to correct this because everyone's pinging me. I forgot to make the interface public. Great point, guys. Thank you very much. It's nice to have an awesome team there. So public interface, that should now make everything compile. The last thing you want to do on stage is do a whole debugging session. So let me just close some of these down so I can get to my to-do item again. So here's my to-do item. I've also included the fields. So let's get back to the back end. So here is my data object. Now, a DTO, or data transfer object, is your model with some extra fields. And those fields are in the are in this entity data class on the back end. On the front end, you're going to have to create them yourself. So just to show you how to do that, here is my portable class. Here is my models. Here's my to-do item. And you notice there's this Azure Mobile Apps fields. What I've done is I've created the fields for you there. And they should be included in any model on the front end. So you've got an ID. Now, in mobile apps, the ID is a string, not an int. You've got a couple of date times that are used for incremental sync. And you've got a version which is used for conflict resolution. So you definitely need these four fields. There is a fifth field on the back end called deleted, and that's used for soft delete, which is basically if you have two devices that are accessing the same data, so maybe you've got a tablet like I have here and you've got a phone and they're accessing the same data. If you delete on one, you want the other device to be notified that that has been deleted. So that is what we call soft delete. And that what happens is we mark something as deleted and then the other device will download that mark and it'll say, okay, you've deleted, I'll delete the record off the mobile device. And then later on, sometimes a week, 2 weeks later, you're going to clean up the database to remove all those soft delete marks. So that's my to-do item. Now, it is not uncommon for the two areas to be different, and you'll see that here. I've actually added an owner field. Now, that owner field does not get transferred to the mobile app, or rather, it does get transferred, but it gets ignored. That owner field is where we are going to store the SID, the user ID. In my controller, I've got a to-do item controller. Now, what's the best way of creating controllers based on that model? Well, you can actually do add a controller, and within here, there is an Azure Mobile Apps Table controller. That's something that the Azure SDK gives you, and you can add it from there. It will ask you for a model and a database context. So I've got my to-do item controller here. I'm just gonna hide the Solution Explorer. And the first thing I'm going to do is get a SID. So a SID is a security ID. It does not change no matter what you do on the authentication provider. So that SID is a unique combination for this application that you've defined and the user that is being accessed from the back end. So it does not fall, if your user changes their email address in Facebook, for example, the SID remains the same. So this is a great way for storing data where you don't know whether the user can change their email address. It's not associated with the user. So you look at it and it's just a string of digits. It's a SID dot something, some hex string. So you can't tie the user to the SID. So it's really hard to get information about a user. And that's a good thing given the number of hacking attempts and data theft that's going on. After that, each of the functions that actually returns values has been adjusted. So for example, in the original version, I had a return query, and that says, return all the records. Now, instead of return all the records, I want return all the records where the owner matches the authenticated user. So here I'm using a link query to augment the query that's being passed in to actually do that. And the query that I'm doing is the item.owner, which is my owner field, matches the SID. In all the other cases, and you can see a lot of these, I'm going to be doing basically the same thing. So I'm going to look up the ID that's being asked for the get single. I'm going to turn that into a queryable, and I'm going to make sure that the user has access. If the item does not exist, or the item is not owned by the user, then nothing is returned. For patching or deleting, there's a bit more to do. I need to actually respond with appropriate responses, because I don't want to inject a security concern where someone can tell that the item exists but can't get access to it, because that gives them a vector for actually doing things. So instead of that, I actually check to see whether the user can access the item. If the item is not there, then I return not found. If they can't get access, I return forbidden. Otherwise, I update the record. Similarly for the delete. Now, in the case of the post, again, I don't want someone injecting information in arbitrarily, even if they're authenticated. So I'm actually going to explicitly set the owner field to the appropriate value in the back end. And that prevents a lot of the security issues. And that's all there is to producing this custom table. Now, there are other ways of producing this custom table, but this is the one where I like, where you're using link to actually get the appropriate queries sent to the back end. Now that I've got this, again, I can just publish and get updated. But remember, if you change the model, you have to do a entity framework migration and upload that migration to get the extra field in. So always consider that as you're going to production. So a couple of mobile backend tips. The first one I've got is secure the server and the client. Don't rely on the server, don't rely on the client. They really need both. But make sure, definitely validate all the fields coming from the client. You never know how you are going to get attacked. And a note, I, I get a ton of questions on Stack Overflow on the MSDN forums about where's the app key? How can I secure my app with an app key? Don't use an app key. App keys are inherently insecure. They are easily sniffed. And if you're relying on an app key to secure, so that, for example, a lot of people want to ensure that their mobile client is the only client accessing their service, the app key is not the way to do it. Validate all the fields. So you don't know what information or who is sending. You can't assume that your mobile client is the one that's accessing your mobile backend. So make sure that you're validating all the fields, both on the client and the server. And invalid fields, it is very common to send a 400 bad request. You can, in the backend, you can just throw a new HTTP response message with a bad request piece. And finally, we did make some, video on this. It's called Addressing the OWASP Mobile Security Threats. It's a great video, and I highly recommend, as you move through your application development, do take security seriously and watch that video and deal with the threats. And with that, we've come to troubleshooting. I'm going to show off a bunch of troubleshooting techniques. The first one is, how do I get logging? So a lot of times when someone asks us a question on Stack Overflow or on MSDN forums, we say, well, what does the log show? And the next question out of pretty much everyone's mouth is, well, how do I get that? There are two places. First of all, you need to actually enable logging in your backend. That is done the same way you do entity framework, and that is in the database context that is created. So here's my database context, and up here I'm going to go this.database.log equals console.write. That is the entity framework method of logging the queries that come back and forth. There we go. And I'm going to just save that, and I'm going to republish it. Now, as that is publishing, I'm also going to switch over to do the other part of this, which is you've got to configure the Azure App Service that you are using so that it actually listens to the logs. The way you do that is in diagnostic logs. And this is a fairly vanilla, there's my publication working. So this is a fairly vanilla one, so I've got all the application logging turned off. You want to log to the file system for debugging. Click on, turn it to verbose. Click on storage, click on detailed errors, click on failed requests. So now I've got everything turned on, and then click on save. Try again in a few moments. Okay, must be still starting up. And of course, it would cease to work right now. There are other ways of doing this, though. So for example, if you've got the Cloud Explorer, which I don't have up there, but I have it in here. Where is my Cloud Explorer? There we go. So my Cloud Explorer is going to log in, and it's going to show all my web apps. So I can actually come into my ahol.netconf one. And I can click on log files, refresh properties. There we go. Come on. I can actually view the log files right from here. So where's my output? There we go. So I'm now connected to the log streaming service. So I am now viewing within Visual Studio, I am viewing the logs from the Azure logs. So let's see if I can turn these on again now. Nope, it doesn't look like it's going to. Yep. I'll try this again. There's the diagnostic logs on verbose storage. Oh, that's why. File system. Remember file system. Click on save. There we go. That's what was wrong. I was if you choose storage, you're actually going to be dumping your logs into a blob storage on an Azure storage account. So that's the difference. Sorry for that. That's a mistake on my side. So make sure you choose file system in both cases and move on. And now the application logs, and you'll see that you get disconnected, but you can actually go into the Cloud Explorer again, and you can click on View Streaming Logs. And it will appear in your output window. So there we go. That's diagnostic logs. And you can cut and paste them from here, save them, and so on. The other thing that I want to show off is that you can actually attach a debugger. So I'm going to pick an environment. So here in my to-do item controller, I'm going to do a breakpoint here. So I am going to actually break on this. So the way that I tend to do this is I use Postman. Now I mentioned that, we need to go. So my site is going to be https://ahall.netconf.azurewebsites.net, and my endpoint is going to be tables.todoItem. And that's going to get all of the items, so it's going to hit that auth. I am going to go into my website, and I'm going to go ahall.netconf .auth login AAD, and that's going to give me a token. And now I'm going to go to /.auth/me, and that's going to give me my ID token, which goes along through to there. Control C. Now if I go into my my Postman, there are two fields that you need to do this. The first is Zumo-API-version, and that must be set to the string 2.0.0. You will get an error if you do not include that header. It allows us to distinguish between people that are using the older mobile services V1 stuff from the V2 stuff. The other one is the XZumoAuth, and that contains your authentication token. So I'm just going to cut and paste that in. Now I can click on Send. Authorization has been denied. And you can see I'm getting 401 here, so I can see the item. So let me just go back into here. Did I miss something? The other thing I can do is I can go into the developer tools and go over to resources, and there will be a cookie. And there's my app service auth session, and it is wrong. Oh, come on. I can't copy that. There we go, copy. Let's try that. And I'm still getting on unauthorized. I'm going to have a look at that afterwards. So, strange. This is what you get for live coding, I guess. Well, one of the things that I can do is I can actually take a look at the logs now. So let me go into the output. And you can see my application there. Cannot read this string. Here's a very, very long string. Well, let's see if that works. Okay, so what we can actually do is we can compile the site and get the token that way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch back to my Solution Explorer. And let's go down to the UWP. And let's live on the wild side and rebuild the application. Make sure it works. I am lb dot. Interesting. So let's see if we can sort this out. So I need to add that. There's all sorts of things when you're doing live coding, let's just say. That. Let's try to sort this out. What did I do? So I did I login provider a backup here, Azure App Service. Let's rebuild that one. Nope. I login provider. I'm sure it's here somewhere. Public space, yep. That is all of that. And then Azure App Service should use this. Ah, live coding. It never works the way you want it to do. So that should be a login provider. Login async. Ah. Nope. Ah, that's why. You see it eventually. I actually passed in the, I called it with the mobile service client and I wasn't passing the mobile service client in. So let's try and run that. Let's go to, here are all my other projects. So let's go to this one, let's deploy it. That puts it in the start menu for you and registers it in on your local machine. And now let's run it. So here is my application. And I'm going to log in. And it's going to ask me for my username and password. I've already registered an account. photoadrian@outlook.com. And I can type in my same password. There we go. So we're in now, and I can now type in a new item and click on save. So one of the things that I wanted to see was, because this is an offline sync version, hang on, let me stop this. Where is the... And we'll float that so we can make it bigger. You see, I'm having a problem with SQLite. So it looks like my vain attempts at doing live coding are not working here. So I've got some more work to do to find the temporary keys and get a temporary area set up. So, but let's just recap the troubleshooting section. So first of all, turn on Entity Framework debug logging. It's easily done in the debug context. It's an Entity Framework element that will give you the ability to put out the queries that are being used to communicate with the SQL backend in the console. However, in order to capture that, you need to turn on diagnostic logging in the Azure portal. Set it to file system, not storage, file system. You can also watch the logs directly from Visual Studio. You can also, if you want them in a completely separate window, if we go back to the capabilities of the portal, under tools, there is a log stream option. And you can watch your logs from here as well. So you'll see it's the same thing. You're welcome, you're connected to the log streaming service, and you can go there. You'll also be able to attach a debugger from Visual Studio, and I didn't finish showing that off. I did show the where we get to the, and let me just kill a few windows here, where we've set the to-do item. What I didn't show is how to connect the debugger. There are a couple of things to do here. So first of all, here I am in the Cloud Explorer for my site, so which is under Web Apps. If I right-click here and I say Attach Debugger, it's first of all, it is going to deploy a new version of your backend. That version of the backend is compiled with the debug options. Then it's going to restart your service with the remote debugger attached, and then it's going to communicate. So that's what's happening right here. So when I run my backend now, if I hit that endpoint, it's actually going to hit it quite easily. So what I'm going to do is once that's done, I'm going to take this authorize off. Authorize is what makes the authentication work. So I'm going to take that off so it doesn't get in the way. And then I'm going to redeploy it. So here's my backend. I'm going to publish. And this time, I'm going to go to the previous section. I'm going to deploy the AnyCPU version of the debug. So click on Next, Publish. So you can always go backwards into that. And it's going to set up a capability. So one of the viewers has just said, Damien, you must put client as an argument. Yeah, great. I noticed that. Thank you. What Damien was saying was here in the client, in the portable, I had the iLogin provider had this mobile service client. In the Azure App Service version of this, as I scroll down, I hadn't put client here. So thank you very much, Damien. We figured that one out. So now that I've gotten rid of the, I've published and I've got rid of the authorization, I'm going to attach the debugger again. And I'm going to use Postman again to just send that. I don't need auth. I just need the Zumo API version. If you've got unauthenticated requests, you can just do it directly. If you just need this Zumo API version, so use Postman, use Fiddler, something like that. And if I send the request, it's going to reach that that checkpoint, and I can now explore this just as if I was debugging a local ASP.NET app. So this is an ASP.NET app running in Azure being debugged locally with your Visual Studio instance. This is awesomely good stuff for cloud development. And you can see I've got everything here, so I know what the model state is, I know what the URL is, and so on. And I can see here my user, so if I'm having problems, I can see that I've actually got that request because I've got a Windows identity and I know who it is. And I can see the claims from here. So I actually don't have a user because I'm not authenticated, but that would be where it is in this user record, and you can cast that and so on. So I'm just going to prompt you again. If you have questions about this whole process, please do type them into the window, and we will get to them. So that's attaching a debugger. So where do you get this code? I am going to fix the code. There's something wrong with the UWP version. I made the classic mistake of trying one version and then leaving the other one alone, thinking I could fix it, but there's something there. I am going to get the repaired code and I'm going to put it on this GitHub repository so you can download the code for yourself. The Azure Mobile Apps SDKs, both the client SDKs, and we have more than .NET, we have iOS native, Android native, Apache Cordova, UWP, and the Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, etc., PCL versions, all of those SDKs, plus the ASP.NET SDK and the Node.js SDK, they're all open source. We track them, they're in our Azure organization on GitHub, so you can look for Azure Mobile Apps there. Just type it into the search window and you'll see them. The other thing is that we track issues there as well, so you can see all the development going on. We also, we're active on the on the Twitterverse, so if you really want to get a hold of us, the team as a whole is on at Azure Mobile. If you want to get hold of the Xamarin team, they are on at Xamarin HQ. And if you want to get hold of me, I'm at Fizzy in the Hall. If you want some more resources, I've just finished on Monday 30 days of Azure Mobile Apps. This takes you through all the requirements for Azure Mobile Apps, pretty much everything that you can do. It has code samples, it has walkthroughs of everything from the very basic, how do you set up a local dev environment, all the way up to how do you do push to sync with push notifications going through APNS and coming back to an Apache Cordova app. So it's a great series of blog posts there. I really enjoyed writing them, and they're up available now, and the whole index is there. And it goes back to March. We have a team blog. We'll be blogging more now that I've done the 30 days of Zoom. I'm going to be switching over to that. So if you want more information, you have an idea for me to cover, then please let me know on the App Service blog. Drop me an email. Catch me on Twitter. If this bit was a bit too late for you, if you said, this is great stuff, I want to do this, but I don't know how to get started, we have a learning path, and we have them for all the clients. So it's not just ASP.NET, it's not just Xamarin, it's all the clients, all the servers. You can get that at ak.ms/learnmobile. And finally, my biggest source of information when I was learning Xamarin was the Xamarin guides. They have sample code, they have walkthrough guides, a lot of things here. developers.xamarin.com/guides. So it looks like I've got about 15 minutes left. I'm quite happy to take questions, show you some more, or you can watch me code and trying to figure out the UWP bug. It's probably very exciting. Debugging is always the exciting bit. But if there's no other questions, thank you very much for viewing this, and I hope to see you enjoy the rest of the program.